This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Bless our beautiful land, O Lord, with its wonderful variety of people, of races, cultures, and languages. May we be a nation of laughter and joy, of justice and reconciliation, of peace and unity, of compassion, caring, and sharing. We pray this prayer for a true patriotism. In the powerful name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, Merry second day of Christmas. I don't have two turtle doves, but here we are. That prayer that I just read was written and originally prayed by Desmond Tutu, the famous archbishop who, I'm sure you're aware, has now passed away and gone to heaven. A great one who worked towards what he prayed for in that prayer about equality for all people, and the hard work of reconciliation that is rooted in forgiveness. He has so many famous quotes, but the one that sticks out for me today that fits along with our subject through this gospel is this: hope. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. There is light in spite of all of the darkness. And that is what this gospel, and that is what today is all about. I'm sure at some time in your life, you have gone to see a musical theater production. And there's all sorts of commotion, and they dim the lights, and you get into your seats, and the lights dim, and the conductor comes out and begins, and then what follows for the next 5 to 10 minutes is a medley of all of the wonderful tunes that you are going to hear and have sung during the play that is to follow. And if you're like me, if it's a musical that you know and love, there is the temptation to want to sing along, and of course that's a no-no. But you get the idea. Today's gospel is just that. We usually call it John's prologue, but we could very well call it John's overture. It's to give us an insight into what is to be the theme of his gospel. And so he sort of gives us highlights. That Jesus pre-existed from the beginning. That one. That Jesus is God, but also man. That Jesus is life. That there is a struggle between light and darkness, and Jesus is the light that overcomes the darkness. There is a power that the light has over the darkness. And there is a relationship special between Jesus and his son John. And as we just heard, John makes it clear that he is not the light, but testifies to Jesus as the light. There is a theme of rejection, as we just heard as well. And the miracle for us to be able to see God's glory, to observe and follow the light, and as Jesus as the only Son of God. Quite an overture. Quite a lot to unpack. But we won't try to do all of it today, but there are a few highlights I would like for us to discuss. When a preacher is preparing a particular sermon on a particular day, especially for Christmas, you run across all these illustrations And there are tons of them that are all entitled "The Christmas Pageant That Went Wrong." I ran across this one this year that I had never heard this story before, and I wanted to share it with you. It goes like this. It was a Christmas pageant presented by four-year-olds. It began with three Virgin Marys marching out onto the stage. As they stood there, of course, they were waving to Mom and Dad. It's not every Christmas pageant that has three Virgin Marys, but over the years, the school had acquired three Mary costumes, and so the script was revised. This gave a chance for more children to be involved and kept down the squabbling over who gets the starring role. The two Josephs walked up behind the three Marys. Then 20 little angels came out. They were dressed in white robes and huge gauze wings. They were followed by 20 little shepherd boys dressed in burlap sacks. They carried an array of objects that were supposed to be crooks. It was at this point that the problem occurred. During the dress rehearsal, the teacher had used chalk to draw circles on the floor to mark where the angels were supposed to stand and crosses to mark the spots of the shepherds. But the children had practiced with their regular clothes on, not their costumes. So on the night of the pageant, the angels came walking out with their beautiful gauze wings sticking out, and they all stood on their circles. However, their huge wings covered the crosses where the shepherds were supposed to stand. So when the time came for the shepherds to find their places, they did not know where to go because the angels took up all their space. There was one little boy who became extremely frustrated and angry over the whole experience. He finally spied his teacher behind the curtains and shocked everyone when he said in a loud stage whisper heard by everyone, "Because of these blankety-blank angels, I can't find the cross." It wasn't blankety-blank either that he really said, according to the story. Sometimes we can't find the cross. Sometimes we need to look for the light. When we did our outdoor Christmas service, we came up with the idea, because we couldn't have lit candles to sing Silent Night, because the wind would blow them out. So we came up with this idea. But especially last year, we didn't instruct people how to turn them on well enough. And so when it came time to sing Silent Night, I saw all the people struggling to try to figure it out. And this year, when we instructed people to turn them on, I physically heard people saying, "Push it down and turn it," which is what you have to do. You push it down and you turn it, and the flickering light comes on. Sometimes we have to give it energy to find the light. And this is an important thing for us. It can be even harder for us in this day and age to find the light that is Jesus. There is some energy that is involved for us. And yes, it's only the second day of Christmas, but perhaps we need to be reminded of that. The hope, the promise, the reality that the light is there, but yes, the work of Christmas begins today. Our church calendar sort of reminds us of the hard work of Christmas. Were this not a Sunday, we would be celebrating the feast day of Saint Stephen, the first martyr of the church. It is not by accident that his feast day is placed the day after Christmas to make that theological reminder to us that, yeah, this can be hard. This week we're going to celebrate the slaughter of the innocents by Herod that we know in that story as well. Thomas Becket, the famous martyr of Canterbury, we celebrate him this week also. These reminders that we're probably not going to be called to give up our physical life for the sake of the gospel, but we are going to be called to make sacrifices continually to find the light. One of my favorite depictions of the Nativity is a drawing, artistic drawing done by Rembrandt. And I don't know about you, but as I was growing up, there was always this issue at home with the Nativity as to trying to find a light that you could put in there that was going to shine down on the Christ child. I remember at one point, even here, we had one of those push lights by battery that was sort of hidden up at the top of the crib, and you had to remember to push the thing every time we wanted to turn it on to shine on Jesus. But I think Rembrandt had a better idea, and if we can get that slide to come up. This is the Adoration of the Shepherds. You've probably seen it on a Christmas card across the years. But notice where the light originates. It's not coming down from heaven. There's a dim light that the shepherd is holding, but that's not illuminating much of anything. The light is originating from Jesus. The theological point that Rembrandt wants to make to us is the same point that John is trying to make for us in the gospel today. The light has come into the world. You want to find the light to show you the way? Look to Jesus. Perhaps for us, an addendum to this is sort of another hidden message that Rembrandt has in this painting. It's almost hard to see as we project it onto the screen, but above Jesus, towards the top right, there is a ladder that is going up, and there is a crossbeam towards the top of that ladder that looks like this. And sitting on that ladder is a rooster. That same rooster that crowed twice when Peter had denied knowing Jesus. The further theological point he's making, the minute that we are no longer looking to him as our light is when the betrayal takes place. There is tremendous hope, tremendous light as we continue to look to Jesus as our light. And that is such an encouraging thing for every one of us, because John's not focusing on what we have been or what we are now. He focuses on what we can be. To all who have received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Let's just use a little energy and the light will shine. Amen.